Good morning again, brothers and sisters, those watching online and those who are here. You know, the goodness of God, whenever I have an opportunity, I don't sing, but I will speak of the goodness of God by bringing the word of God. Even though he is faithful all throughout my life, and I may be unfaithful sometimes, but God is so good that I want to speak of his goodness. Thank you, Lighthouse, for praying for me. You know, that is why I'm up here. Otherwise, I won't have the stamina, except Stephen, who keeps intimidating me about being a pastor. But that's what you get when you know somebody for over 30 years, you know, and that shows how young we are. But I'm really privileged to be speaking to you about the topic of perseverance in trials. And I will start with, I love stories. That's all I'm going to say in Mandarin. But going back to the word of God, this week was really challenging for me, and probably I wouldn't be standing here if, you know, this I had known earlier, but God wanted me to speak to you guys, I believe. This week I had to start two jobs, two different projects. You know, I'm usually involved in several projects, but this week was quite challenging because for the first time I had to start get involved in two big projects, and one of the projects, it took me 2 hours to get there, and basically I lost my way, and they had to come and rescue me, somebody. And I was really frustrated. I came back home and I started talking about retirement with my wife, you know. But the message is, I was struggling with this message. God has put it in my heart for a while, but I didn't know what would be the title. But then I thought, perseverance. And this whole message is to myself, but I hope and pray that it will be an encouragement to all of you, because I had to go through this, and it turned out that I had beautiful and great people who really helped me through this transition as I get involved in more projects. And yesterday I was in the office sending an email, and somebody responded, explaining all, let everybody know what I'm involved in. And somebody responded and said, oh, but you might be involved in this other project. Right? Okay. But that's the grace of God. Perseverance in trials. We all go through different trials and sufferings, tribulations. And, you know, maybe it might be this week, or it may have been months ago, you know, having financial situations. You know, we have difficult bosses, you know, exams, you know, pressure of exams, you know, different things that we deal with in our lives, abuse, persecution. We think of Pastor C, who was killed, who was persecuted, and what his family is going through now. You know, I can't just imagine, you know. But these are the things we go through. The wars in Syria, Sudan, Ukraine, you know. And obviously, Christians are dying there. And I'm thinking, you know, does our God we serve really care? And you ask a lot of people, non-Christians, ask this question. And that's sometimes a stumbling block to them, in fact, that if this God is so, you say, is an omnipotent God, so powerful, so loving, why does he allow all these things to happen? And if I'm being frank with you, I ask myself sometimes these questions. And I asked it when I had the biggest tragedy of my life, when my mom passed away 23 years ago. I was in the U.S. studying. The night I got the message, the next day I went to campus, and I saw everybody moving, the young kids, you know, with their backpack, happy. And God, why are you lying? People are happy. I'm sad here. Why can't you end the world? And I have to be, that was my thought. And I had to rebuke myself, but that was my wish. I thought, you know, the world should end because, you know, tragically, my mom had passed away. But we all go through these difficult times. And the message is going to be mainly coming from, because of this technology I will be dealing with. I only have a few slides. I wish I could have added some of the things I will be talking, but I don't want to. I've had my experience the last time having too many slides. It affects my flow. Let's just read this one. It's James 1, chapter 1, verse 1 to 8 and 12. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Verse 12, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So great. This is a message that I'll just be focusing basically in this verses. I want to go back to, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Wow. It says, consider it pure joy. And this, I mean, when I, you read this and you think that, how can I be joyful when I'm going through trials? God, you don't know, the difficulty I'm going through, the challenges I'm going through. How can I be joyful? And we'll shortly look what James really means. But I like the New Catholic Bible. I was looking for different translations. The New Catholic Bible, I don't have it up there. It says, my brethren, consider it a cause, that's a reason of great joy whenever you endure various trials. So instead of face, we face, maybe sometimes you face, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're enduring. But when this verse is, when you endure, so it's basically saying, instructing us to endure, wants us to endure. We don't just face it, maybe face includes it, but it also wants us to endure. So we encounter all kinds of trials, some of which are because of the direct or indirect consequences of the decisions we make in our lives. There are other trials we go through that we have no control over whatsoever. They come upon us like a thief, unexpectedly, unannounced, uninvited, and sometimes there is not much we can do but only pray. Others may turn to remedies or solutions that are in complete contrast with Christ's calling or will for our lives. So a good example of something that comes upon us that we don't have any control is like a family disease. If you have something in your family, they always look at, when you go to hospital, they ask you, your family, do they have this sort of disease, And sometimes it affects us. So you have no control over that. Certain diseases, if you go to 7-Eleven and steal something, of course, that's your decision. There are going to be consequences of that. But, if you have a disease, that's something that, as an example, that comes without, you have no control over. But the Bible says in both circumstances, whether through our actions and inactions or beyond our control, we as believers are to face or endure these trials with joy. It sounds ironic, tongue in the cheek, or sarcastic. Our general understanding of trials and joy don't go together. I think you will agree with me, in that. But what does James says about joy? It's definitely not the happy, lively, and bubbly feelings that we get when we're joyful. James is talking about an inner sense of calmness and quietness, peace and tranquility, which come from the assurance of serving the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and with the knowledge and belief that he is watching over us and knows what we are going through, and that he will never leave us nor forsake us in all circumstances. you know, it's easy for me to read this, but, you know, having that inner joy in yourself, it's not an easy thing. I struggle with it. You know, my mom has passed away 23 years ago, but some of you have seen me, you know, the way I struggle with it. I think Keith saw me recently on my mom's anniversary. It was a Sunday, and I got very emotional about it. I need to move forward. Even though he does not stop our trials, God still loves us and is looking over us. We are not abandoned. So if we are going through trials, let us know that God is still there for us. He's not going to abandon us. Let me get my slide correctly. So I go back to... Yes. Yeah. Okay. Verse 3, it says, why should we endure the trials with joy? It says, verse 3, it says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know. That's the key word. We know. It's not in vain. It produces, it's the testing of our faith which produces perseverance. One, it tests our faith. Secondly, there's perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So basically, God is saying that what we go through, the trials we go through, it makes us mature and complete, that we won't lack anything. And that's an encouragement to me. And going through my little bit of trial this week was basically an eye-opener. Even though I've been a Christian, I know these things, but sometimes you face things and you just say, whoa, the way you react. But then slowly, you realize that God is in it. And I find today, you know, I mean, as I told you, one of my colleagues was on WhatsApp continuously when I was going to the site. And he made sure that, you know, he even came and rescued me. He was so nice. And the people that I met there, I was thinking, wow, you know, with all my complaints, look at how God is teaching me about his goodness. Yes, I may be going through this. Changes are happening. I don't like the changes. But God is still working and showing his love and his kindness through people. They may not even be Christians, but they are still, you know, some of the most friendly people I have met, and they really help me. So brothers and sisters, when we go through trials, the key is to know that something good is coming from this trial, that something good will surely come out of this trial, and we should be encouraged because we are going to build perseverance. And what does perseverance do? Look at that guy. I love these pictures, you know, when I thought, okay, I'll share this. That's perseverance. It has to be, because if this guy doesn't persevere, he's going to fall. And what you guys have been doing, you know, here is perseverance. This guy is going. But there's somebody there pulling him up. And that was what you guys, you know, me coming up here, as shaky as I might be, you guys were telling me everybody was praying for me. And that was an encouragement for me. You guys were up there pulling me up. My colleagues, they may not be Christians, but God is using them to make sure that, hey, Moses, you can't afford to retire this day. You need to persevere. You know? I wish I had the money to retire, but I cannot. But apart from that, as a Christian, I need to persevere. But somebody is there. You know, you guys are praying for me. Somebody's pulling me up. And just the encouragement, even Stephen's calling me pastor, I know it's an encouragement. It's just his way of calling me, you know. So what is perseverance? It is a continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. It's steadfastness. We should expect difficulties when we go through trials. We should expect failures and opposition, but we have to be steadfast, just like these people, otherwise they're going to fall. And 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 6 to 7 says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, that's temporarily, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And most of the time, you know, a lot of the trials we go through, we grieved, There's great sorrow. There's mental distress. You know, there's so many emotions we go through. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold and being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by faith, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Let me just read it again because I wish I had it on, you know, I didn't want to have too many, as I said, so I don't get. But in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. My brothers and sisters, let the trials we go through, you know, when we are tested by fire, by whatever situation we are going through, that we may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because that was what I was thinking myself this week, you know, when, you know, I was given all this task, and I was thinking, and I was reading this, and I thought, I need to be praising God. I should be thankful that I actually have a job, that I'm able to provide for my family. At the same time, you know, this is a process I'm going through. I may learn from this, and I have two boys. They're growing up. I pass on, and most of the time when I talk with them, I pass on these lessons that I've learned. I talk to them about drugs, the experience I've had, you know, sitting with classmates, all of them who might be smoking. And I never tried to take drugs in my life, but I was among them, sitting there and just keeping company with them. But so some of these things I've gone through, like what I've gone through this week or what you're going through, you may be able to pass on to other people. The question I have is, are we genuine with our faith such that when we are tested in various circumstances, we will continue to praise, honor, and glorify Jesus Christ? Or do we only praise, honor, and glorify him when everything in our lives is perfectly fine? My brothers and sisters, let us guard against being double-minded, doubting like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind in various directions and circumstances. God wants us to praise and honor him in good and bad times. It's easy to praise God when everything is fine. I find I have a little bit of money. Everything is fine. My health is good. It's so easy you can. But when, you know, you get some bad news, you're laid off, you're struggling with certain things, one of my favorite music was In Moments Like This. And I used to sing it a lot of times. But sometimes it's really difficult to sing in moments like this. You want to praise God, you want to thank him. Because you're thinking, God, why can't you just rescue me in this situation? And, you know, I was encouraged. And exactly, it's almost like 1 year ago when our lovely brother died. You know, and before he passed away, when the news came that he was going to pass, Pastor Jennifer announced here, I sent him one of my favorite songs, which is God on the Mountain. It says, life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, for you are never alone. For the God of the mountain is the God in the valley. When things go wrong, he will make them right. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. The God of the day is still God in the night. I remember this brother sending me a message. His message was very simple. Thank you. Good song. And he was on his deathbed. You know, it's easy to serve God when everything is fine. A good example would be Satan coming to God and said, there is no one on earth, when he mentioned about Job to God, there is no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright. a man who fears God and shuns evil. Then Satan says, why is he like that? Then God asks him, he says, have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? Because Job was a very, very rich guy. He had all sorts of things, you know, very, very wealthy by maybe any standard. And so Satan is telling God that, you know, Job is praising God because he has everything. He's wealthy, he has servants and all these things. So, and then the Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has in your power, put on the man himself. Sorry, let me read it again. Very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger. So God basically said, I will take the alleged hedge that you're talking about, you know, the wealth and all these things, I will take it out and see what will be the outcome. So he was on the mountain. Now bring him down to the valley and see what will happen. In a single day, let's see what happens in different occasions. His oxen and donkeys were stolen, and servants were put to death. The sheep and servants were burnt by fire. This was while he was receiving each of these messages. Camels were stolen. And then while he was still being told that his camels were stolen, I guess one of the worst came. A house collapses, killing his sons and daughters. Wow. And then what Job did? At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Hallelujah. I wish when we go through trials, we'll remember Job. Because this is just extraordinary, you know. Here was a man who was up the mountain and was praising, faithful, and then now he's in the valley. He humbled himself first, removed his clothes, shaved his head, and then still praise God. And he says also, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. And that's why I think, you know, if anything, I will, you know, admonish my brothers and sisters is basically, even if we are disappointed that God is not taking away our struggles, our trials, but let us never sin by charging God with wrongdoing. God will never do. You know, the war that is happening, is that coming from God? God has the power to remove, you know, the things that went in my own country, Sierra Leone, was a terrible situation for several years. What is happening in Ukraine? What you say, Sudan? You know, but it's not God. We can't put that blame on God. We can't sin and by charging God that he is responsible for that. I think that would be the biggest mistake. At least if we're not going to praise him, let us not put that wrong on him. So, my brothers and sisters, let us hold fast to the truth that no matter what we may have gone through or are going through, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I just want to, Pastor Rainey, in his first message, in the assurance of the faith, he mentioned Hebrews 11, the faithful servants of God. You know, I just want to mention a few so that in addition to Job, that we can just be encouraged. We know by faith, Abel brought a good, better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous. So the offerings that we give, can we be commended as righteous? By faith, Noah, when warned about the things to not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Are we being fearful? Probably that was what was, you know, for me this week. You know, I keep going back to this story. The fear of I need to provide for my family. I need to provide for myself, so I can't just think of retiring. You know, although probably not much of. I hope it was done by faith. You know, and also by faith. He condemned the world and became heir of the righteous that is keeping with faith. We also know by faith, when called to a place, he will later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. This is by faith, Abraham, what Abraham did. So these are a few examples that we can relate to. But there's something very interesting, which is this. Hebrews 11:13 says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. So even though we might be going through trials and, you know, promises, we are faithful and thinking that God will see us through, and some of those may not come to our to what we wish. We may never witness, you know, things like, I mean, what we wish to come to completion. But yet still, our faithful, these faithful servants, although they did not see what, you know, they continue to live by faith until they passed away, and they did not receive these things that were promised. But those promises were passed on to their generations. And so there are things that we, you know, we hope it will be able to witness, but some of those promises may have to be passed on to our next generations. But yet still, we need to be faithful. Let me go to slide number two. Verse five, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You know, it says, you know, verse 4 says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and not lacking anything. So it says not lacking anything, and he immediately goes to, if any of you lacks wisdom. So there's a connection there. It's the wisdom part is basically, it's very important, because when we go through trials, we gain wisdom. And what is basically wisdom? Wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. The quality of being wise. You know, I put it in another way, the trials we go through and the perseverance of our faith produces wisdom. When you have gone through something, when you have done something, you learn something from it, and this is what is wisdom. You know, I find that as I grow older, there's certain things I can easily go back to my experience, and, you know, if something is happening, I can easily go back and relate it to my past experience. And I think sometimes that's wisdom, because God, you know, I've gone through a similar experience, and I can pass it on, just like sometimes I do with my kids. So with God's wisdom, we are able to see our trials through God's viewpoint, and this is very important, and do according to instructions and principles he commands us to follow. Wisdom helps us to apply knowledge and skills we learn through trials in the right or godly way. You know, when you have wisdom, godly wisdom, you're able to see things in God's way, because there are so many views, any situation you find yourself, there are so many views that you can use. You can go to a fortune teller, you can go to something, or whatever it is, a philosopher or psychologist, whoever it is. But there is a God's viewpoint. What does the Bible say? If there are certain things that are very clear in the Bible, or there are certain things that God is speaking to you directly, what is God's view? It comes through wisdom. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the fear of God, of the Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So when we have knowledge and we've gone through experience, we've experienced something, we gain wisdom. And wisdom of God through trials help us, you know, to go through the trials that we go through or be able to help others and be a testimony to others and encourage them in whatever troubles they may be going through. Verse 6 says, but when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So, you know, if we lack wisdom, it says we must ask. But when we ask, we must believe and not doubt. And that's one of the key issues. As Christians, you know, sometimes we waver in our decisions. At one point, maybe we are believing one thing. On the other, we are doing something else. Do we really wholly and completely believe that God is in control or God is in this situation? That can be a challenge. I can easily say it, but I know in my life, sometimes it's a challenge to really put my whole trust, hope and trust in God. Because sometimes we're just humans, you know. We look at things, you know, from our experience, from the way what we see around us, that influences the way we react sometimes to our trials. But I want to encourage you that we should believe and not doubt. And there are a few things I want to share about believing. And how do we respond to trials by believing and seeking God that we may go through perseverance and gain wisdom and, you know, have the fear of God? Let's believe that if we are going, whatever situation we are going through, that God is in control of my situation and my trials. God will be with me throughout this journey. God has a specific purpose for my trials. My faith will be strengthened. Because when you go through one situation and you see the hand of God, like I went through this and saw, yes, there were challenges, but the way I was welcomed, the way people were responding and helping me out, it was just a great encouragement to me. And that builds my faith. My faith in God was strengthened because I was praying. I said, God, lead me. Something good will come out of this situation. It's Romans 8:28, you know, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So in everything, something good will come out of it. I'll be more like Christ and become spiritually mature. You know, when you're going through trials, you go, you know, with experience over the years, maybe especially for young people, when you're young, you know, you go through certain experience, you get frustrated. But as you grow older, there are certain things that doesn't bother you that much again. Yes, of course, there are challenges that you come through, and maybe that's the first time. But the challenges that you've gone through before becomes, you know, you go back and say, God did help me in this situation. It may not come immediately, but then you can measure your spiritual growth. If I have been, you know, in one situation, yes, I did rely, or maybe I did not completely rely on God. I was complaining, maybe like I was complaining this week, you know. But then, yes, still I know that maybe I did complain, but maybe less compared to what I complained before in similar situation. So we become spiritually mature. So when we have gone through our trials and perseverance, and God gets us to the place where he wants us to be, we are better equipped with testimonies and skills to be an encouragement to the lives of others who are going through similar or even worse situations. You know, I mentioned the story of Pastor C. You know, I can just imagine what his... But his testimony is just an encouragement. You know, he lost his life in a horrible situation. And I can also talk about... I recently, when I was in the States visiting my son, one sister, when we were students, recently passed away. And she had been persecuted for years, and she was a very funny old lady, you know, when we used to visit her. But she makes light of her situation. But what she went through was horrible. She was persecuted. But she was such an encouragement that, you know, when people come, we take them to see her, and she tells us testimonies. Wow. They come back. Can we go meet the sister? You know, because her testimony was just a living example and just uplifts people. And so, my brothers and sisters, my word of encouragement is, we may be going through difficult times, but possibly it's going to be an encouragement to somebody. As I becoming close, maybe if Stephen can just get ready, I was going to tell him, I want to end up with a song, Farm Foundation. The next slide, let me go to verse, sorry. This is the thing. Okay. Verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. There's not much I can say there. It's so clear. If we persevere under trial, because if we stood the test, that person will receive the crown. It's so clear. Our trials will not be in vain. God, let us, I pray that we remain faithful to the calling that God has called us. Let us persevere. Let us persevere in trials with Christ as our firm foundation, the rock on which we stand when everything around us is shaken. He's faithful through generations, so he won't fail us now. My word of encouragement, brothers and sisters, let us continue to be encouraged that we know that God is with us, God is in control. Let us persevere so that when we get up the mountain, even though we are in the valley, we praise him. And when we get up the mountain, we still continue to praise him. So I'll just call, if Brother Stephen can just come sing, help us close with Farm Foundation. Can you please stand so that we can... He won't fail.
won't. He won't fail. He won't fail.
I've got joy
in prayer. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength. I've built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. He won't. He won't. He won't fail. He won't
But my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew. My house was built on you. I'm safe.
My
firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. God, we thank you for your promises that are yes and amen. God, you never change. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
And what you did for our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we could go on through the Old Testament, to the New Testament. Paul's and Peter's, Silas, Priscilla and Aquila, and all through the generations, what you did for them, what you did through them, what you accomplished in their lives, God, we believe that you are doing it in our lives, and we say thank you. We fix our gaze on you. We look after you. Thank you for your word today, Brother Moses. Thank you for speaking to us. Lord, we pray that through the week, God, Holy Spirit, you bring us back to these words. A faithful God. And the God, you are teaching us to persevere, grow in you, to know more about you, how great you are, how powerful you are, how loving you are. Through these difficult times we go, we endure. God, you're showing us your character. You're changing us to be more like you. I pray for strength for each and every one of us. I pray that, God, you strengthen your people. May you lead us to be able to sit down, to quieten our lives, our busy lives, listen to that still small voice. Speak to us, God. Help us remember the examples that Brother Moses has shared with us. Help us to apply these things in our lives. Father, we continue to pray for Sister Eileen. God, wherever she is, we pray that you stretch forth your healing hand upon her. Give her grace, O God, to stand on the rock that is our Christ, O Lord. We pray that you will be glorified in her. May the peace of God that transcends human understanding guard her heart and her mind in Christ Jesus. Pray for the family, that God you strengthen them, Lord. Bring them closer to you. I pray that they will see the hand of God working in their lives, that they'll give you glory. We remember Pastor Fayez too. Pray that, God, you'll be with him, with Nahid and Joshua and Noah and Caleb. Bless them, O God. Provide for each and every need that they have, O God. May your name be glorified in their lives. Finally, we pray that, God, you bless Lighthouse. Bless this church, oh God. We are yours. We love you. We want more of you. God, help us through the week to grow in our faith and to please you and to honor you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.